Praise God. Well, it's good to be in the house tonight. It's good to have my parents here tonight. Would you give my parents a hand? I went over to my dad and I squeezed on him a little bit. You know, there's this time where when you're younger, your dad can kind of squeeze on you and you kind of just got to let him. But then there's a time where you get a little older and then you can squeeze on your dad and he's kind of pulling away like, hey, let me go here. And I whispered in his ear, I said, get to work. It's been a privilege to share, and I'm thankful that my parents get to chill together. And, you know, my dad always says at funerals, and I'm sure he said it tonight, that you have an appointment. And you got to make sure that you make the moments last. And I'm glad, so glad that my parents are doing that. It's been a privilege to talk about identity. And I want you to know that God's not just changing you, and he's not just working in your family. He's working in my family. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that even as an adult that God begins to, he just at certain times, he continues to change our identity. And I just encourage you tonight to just say, be it unto me according to your word and embrace it. And Sunday, I wanted to mention that the second service, Dad, you weren't here to see it, but there was a couple things that had happened during the second service, and I want you to know that that when you begin to hear the voice of the Lord and God begins to move in a mighty way, the enemy will send every distraction that he can to get you off course and get you into a mode where you can't receive, you can't see, you're unaware, you're cloudy. You ever been cloudy before? And that's what the enemy does. He tries to get us cloudy. So tonight, I just pray for the clarity of his word. And I believe that we're becoming greater lovers of each other and of God. I want to read to you tonight out of Luke 19. And I want to just read a little bit to you. And this is a scripture that I've heard preached probably, I don't know, 50 times. You know, Judy, you know, being a PK, you hear somebody preach something, and then 6 months later, you hear it again. So I pray that you receive tonight. And it says these words. I'm going to read just a little bit. Jesus entered Jericho, and passing through, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. Since Jesus was coming that way, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house. So he came down at once, welcomed him gladly. All the people that saw this began to mutter, he has gone to be a guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to your house because this man too is a son of Abraham. I want to pause there and I want you to hear that, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. This portion of scripture says these words. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore tree to see him, to see Jesus. And tonight, by God's grace, I want to minister from the subject, climb that tree. Tell your neighbor, climb that tree. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray tonight that your Holy Spirit, we sent you even now, we sent you during the worship, that you begin to flow, you begin to move, you begin to manifest and to show yourself so real in this place. And Father, in Jesus' name, we pray tonight that God, that we would do what you've called us to do, that we walk in humility, and Father, that your Holy Spirit, because of it, would embrace us in such a wonderful fashion. Have your way in this place tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it's so important that as we read the scripture that there's so many resources available to put the text into context, because the atmosphere of the text is extremely important to the text. The words of this text, yes, are important, but the atmosphere has more to do with the event that's happening sometimes than actually what you're reading. And you have to understand the atmosphere of someone's life. You have to understand what's happening in a person's life. And I think of what I shared on Sunday, the atmosphere that when my mom and I were having this discussion, if you didn't hear the message on Sunday, you go back and watch it. I needed to understand the atmosphere that she was set in. This last week, Thursday, right before I was preparing to preach on Sunday, our cat got hit in the road. And man, I was just so discouraged over that. It just bothered me. I had such grief on me. And if you didn't know me, or if you know me and you didn't know that my cat got hit, you wouldn't understand the atmosphere that our household was in. We cried for days. We cried right up to Sunday. Sunday afternoon we were crying. And Monday morning we went out and we were crying. The atmosphere in someone's life matters. I thought of the Vineyards. I thought of Paige leaving for college. I thought of Dad dropping this little girl off at college. Yeah. Yeah. And in the atmosphere of a home, it shifts based on the events that are happening in someone's life. And in this portion of scripture, the atmosphere is so important because it's a week before the crucifixion of Jesus. And Jesus has pressure and he has grief. And the Bible says that he cried tears of blood. You have to understand that Jesus, yeah, he's God in the flesh, but he's also flesh. The Bible says that he's our kinsman redeemer. That means he's kin to me. He's like me because he, in order for him to be my kinsman redeemer, he has to be like me. And this week leading up to this scripture, Jesus has pressure and his disciples are acting out and they're aggravated and they're frustrated and they're not sure what's ahead. They're afraid. There's this shakiness of what will happen if this goes through. The atmosphere in a home is important, and the atmosphere in this scripture is important. Atmosphere is important because we have to realize that we're human and we have emotions. If you have friendships and relationships and you don't honor the atmosphere of someone's life, I know that Marty and Judy had a loss in the family this week. If you don't honor that loss and you don't recognize that there's grief and pain, you could separate yourself from a relationship. And in this text, there's something happening that's bigger than Zacchaeus. Jesus is being betrayed. He's one of his friends is betraying him. He's sold him out, and Jesus is being stared in the face because he's teaching us in this scripture how to deal with people that betray us. And he goes and has dinner with them, and he begins to feed the very people that will crucify. He sits down with Judas at the table, and he has a choice in this portion, in this atmosphere, in his life to teach us how to deal with difficult people, people who mistreat us and harm us. And he sits down, and he doesn't begin to slander him. He doesn't cut the relationship off. He doesn't ignore the person. He feeds the person in this atmosphere. And he goes on and he even says these words, do good to those who use you. Do good to those who they betray you. He teaches on people who betray us. And I'm not going to say I've mastered it. I'm far from mastering it, but God is working it in me. It's in this background of this text that so much is happening. and let me steal something from Sunday. We see one thing, and there's a lot more happening behind the scenes of someone's life. Zacchaeus has nothing to do with what's going on in Jesus' life. He has no clue. He has no knowledge. He has no forethought to what's happening in Jesus' life. But he gets dropped into a life where there's turmoil and struggle. I hope you see this. Boom, in the story. Zacchaeus is a son of Abraham, the scripture says, but he had moved away from who he was a long time ago. Which brings me to my first thought tonight. Don't move away from what's most important. Zacchaeus lost himself in opportunities and he forgot who he was and what is most important. He's been given an opportunity to live like he was not a Hebrew, although he was a Hebrew. He forgot what was most important. And I smile every time I see kids in nights like tonight. Addison over here. I see Aaliyah over here. I see Parker. I see kids in this room. I see the Greg kids up there. I smile every time I see kids in an atmosphere like this because it lets me know that their parents are so smart. That their parents are so intelligent, that their parents know that if you train a child up in the way they should go, that they might wander a minute, that they might stray off a second, but they'll come back. And this is where Zacchaeus is. He has a foundation within him, but he's wandered from it. My parents, when we grew up, we never left the church. We lived in the church, and at times we resented that. But today, I can tell you, I'm so blessed by that. Don't forget that the opportunities that you have are God-given. A parent asked me one time, they said to me, and I still chuckle at the memory of this. They walked up to me with kind of a condescending spirit. I could tell even before they begin to talk, because you can tell by a person's facial expression. They said, "What are we doing about the youth?" And they begin to look at me, and I'll answer, and I'll say it tonight like I said to them at that time. I said, "We're going to do everything we can." COVID was difficult. COVID kind of threw some plans and it disrupted a lot of things, but we're going to do everything possible to support our youth. And I began to pray about that. I've been praying about that. And a couple weeks went by and the kids came up to me and I was talking with them, and the Lord immediately, he dropped in my spirit, "You need to ask those kids what devotions that they're doing at home." And I looked at the kids and I said, "Hey, what devotions are you working on at home?" And the kids looked back at me like the deer in the headlights, and the parents were standing right there and they said, "We're not doing anything." Parents have to do at home what they wish they'd see in their kids on Sunday morning and on Thursday night. You can't leave parenting up to someone else. Train the child up 7 days a week in the way they should go, and they won't depart from it. Don't write a check to fix it. You can't write a check to fix it. You've got to do it it has to be a discipline. We must be the parents that God has called us to be. Don't move away from what's important. And kids won't if parents are doing what they're called to do. Zacchaeus is a son of Abraham, part of the family. But he has forgotten what is most important. Zacchaeus has forgotten, and he's become a tax collector. And the Bible says he's the chief of them. And it's deeper than him just collecting taxes. He's a tax collector for the Roman government. The people who hate the Jewish people, he's working for. He's exploiting the relationship. He's exploiting the very people who he is kin to, and he's benefiting himself. He's being paid to take advantage of his own. And he's taking money from his family and giving it to the wealthy Roman government. He's being paid to rip off his family. And no one likes Zacchaeus. His family doesn't like him because he's ripping them off. And the Roman government, let me tell you something. If you turn your back on family and people know it, the people that you're helping, the people you think you have an allegiance with, the people you think that you're going to create this kinship with, they don't trust you either. Because if you'll turn your back on family, you'll turn your back on anybody. They don't trust him. He's moved away. And let me say this to you tonight. Don't make any decisions that make you move away from what's most important. Don't miss your connect group. People tell me all the time, God gave me a job, but I can't come to church. God didn't give you that job. God didn't give you a job so you couldn't be spiritually fed, so your spirit is dead. God didn't give you that job. The enemy gave you that job to keep you from the house of the Lord. Don't forget what's most important. Don't move away from what's most important. And in this life of Zacchaeus, he's highlighted as the tax collector, and he was wealthy. He's drifted away from what he knows deep down is most important, but all of a sudden, he wants to see Jesus. You know why he wants to see Jesus? Because he finds out on the journey what he learned as a boy, what he grew up with as a boy. He says, I got to get back to what I know. I got to get back to Jesus. I got to get back to the filler of my spirit. The worldly swag doesn't matter anymore. The things, the influence, the power that I've received, the position that I've received doesn't matter. The scripture said he has power and money, but he's short. Which brings me to my second point. Everybody has a butt. Tell your neighbor everybody's got a butt. Not the kind of butt that you're thinking right now. That's not what I'm talking about. Everybody has a butt. It's like saying everyone is short in an area. Everyone has a deficiency somewhere. People see your talent. People see your ability. People see your skill. People see your anointing. But there is always something that beckons at the flesh. And it creates a shortness. It creates a but in a life, and Zacchaeus is rich, and he's powerful, and he appears to have it all together. But in his life, there is something that has come up short that makes him beckon himself back to Jesus. I'm intelligent, but I'm cynical. I'm organized, but I'm critical. There's always a but. When you get married, you find out about all kinds of buts. You think to yourself, I hadn't had to find out about butts about you, but you had to find out about them about me. I'm good, aren't I? There's always a but. There's always a but. I can make a friend, but I can't keep a friend. I can make money, but I can't manage money. He's beautiful. But he's a liar. She's amazing, but she's crazy. Buts don't have to be bad, though. They make us need the Father. And this is where Zacchaeus is. His butt, his shortness drove him back to Jesus. They make us need God. The cars won't do it. The mansion won't do it. The suit won't do it. But Jesus will make up the difference for your extra butt. Things can't change the butt. But the butts can make you pray. You like that, huh, Addison? The butts can make you show up on a Thursday night to hear the word of the Lord, to just turn you just a little bit. It's the butt. It's the thing that you don't want anybody to know about, the butt in your life that drive you to Jesus. Zacchaeus looks good by all appearances, but he comes up short in an area. It's like saying, who much is given, much is required. The more success, the more notoriety, the more things, the more the but comes to surface. This thorn in my flesh, Jesus, is good, because if I didn't have it, I'd be arrogant and pompous. And I believe it was me and not you. Zacchaeus is short, and he has a but. And the Bible says he needed to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd, so he ran ahead. Which brings me to my next point. Sometimes you need to be inconvenienced so you can meet with Jesus. It's amazing to me when people say, bless me, Lord. Bless my project. Bless what I do. Be with me. You want Jesus to run to you instead of you running to him. My dad taught me a long time ago, he said these words, if you'll take care of his business, if you'll take care of God's business, he'll take care of you. Jesus says these words, come to me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you. He didn't say it the other way around. Let me run to you, and I'll give you rest. He said, come to me. Come to my spirit. Be inconvenienced. And I'll do a work in and through your life. If we pay attention to what he's doing and make arrangements to support what he's doing and bless and respect what he's doing, he will bless and respect what we are doing. God made us for his glory, not the other way around. God has a plan and a purpose for your life and for mine. He has an identity for you, but you got to be inconvenienced for it. And I begin to think about Scripture and think about our Bible reading plan and think about the stories in the Scripture that I've read lately. I think of David. I think of Moses. I think of Daniel. I think of all these Bible characters that have done amazing things for the gospel's sake. I think of all these biblical characters, and there's one thing in common. Every last one of them, Grandpa, was inconvenienced. And as they were inconvenienced, God, by his power and by his spirit, got behind them and enabled them not only to accomplish the gospel's sake, but accomplish their own dreams. Jesus, I'll do it your way instead of me doing it my way. Zacchaeus was a man that said, I want to be in agreement. Even if I'm inconvenienced, I want to get in line with you, what you are doing, and everything else will take care of itself. Zacchaeus ran down the road and was inconvenienced, and ran down the road and saw a tree because God knew he was short. God knew he had a but, he has a deficiency, he has a problem, he has a shortcoming in an area. And God places a tree for Zacchaeus at the point of his need. My next point. Every time I come up short, I see a tree. When I begin to have kids, when I begin to be a dad, I came up short. I didn't know how to be a dad. I didn't know what to do. But God sent a tree to me. He'll send resources to you at the right time, at the right place. When you get in line with what he's doing, he'll send a tree every time. When I started a business, I was scared to death. And God sent trees all the way through my life. He planted trees just for me. Whenever you feel short, he'll provide a tree if you'll be inconvenienced for his agenda. And my thought tonight is I'm going to climb that tree. I'm going to climb the tree he planted for me. I'm short, but I'm climbing. I'm hurt, but I'll climb. I might get discouraged and depressed and I might go sideways for a minute. I might have grief in my heart and in my spirit and my soul. But I know at the right time, at the right moment, in the right place, in the right time, when I get in the flow of the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden I'll make my way up the road and there'll be a tree planted just for me. And it's the same for you. He has a tree for you. His ego, his selfish ambition didn't hold him hostage anymore. He didn't care about the things anymore. He left his ego on the roadside. He left his own ambition on the roadside, and he said, I've got to see Jesus. He ran up the road. He didn't walk up the road. He didn't strut up the road. He didn't drive up the road. He ran to Jesus and saw a tree. Rich people run to something? In front of people? No. But when they need something money can't buy, when something comes knocking at the door of that house that a check can't fix, all of a sudden, all bars come off and people go running that you never thought would ever run before. We get to meet all kinds of people. And I'm going to tell you something. When trouble comes knocking, the egos fly right out the door. And they want a meeting with Jesus right now. Zacchaeus looked like a fool running ahead. He's rich. He's important. Running, climbing up a tree. But he knows in his heart, God has a meeting for him. He sent an answer to prayer to make up for his shortness, because God provided a tree to make up for my limitations. What I realized is that this lesson is a lesson in humility to show us that all have sinned and fallen. We've all fallen short. The Pharisees wouldn't do this because they were worried about proving how big they were, not how big God was. But the greatest in the kingdom is the least, the servant, the shortest, the smallest, the most deficient. Realize that in this text, there are problems. The atmosphere is full of problems. The timing is off. The government has upheaval. Sound familiar? Problems at every corner. Division at every corner. Financial issues at every corner. And God does a miracle in this text in the midst of it. And I want you to know tonight that this is a perfect time for a miracle. That this is a perfect time for a move of God. Right in the midst of difficulty. Right in the midst of pain. The enemy can't stop God from blessing you. He wants to distract you from your blessing. We need to get our head out of the clouds and into our assignments. Now watch this. Zacchaeus runs to the tree. The walk of humility. The walk of no ego. The run of, I don't have all the answers. Climbs up the tree. And you know the story. Jesus makes his way. He knew what the reaction of his own people would be. You can't go with him. Walks over to the tree, and he tells Zacchaeus, come down from the tree. I want to pause here. My dad said at the start, he said something, and he didn't even know he was preaching my message. Jesus told him, come down. I want to go to your house. Don't fall in love with the tree. Fall in love with Jesus. Because you can get so caught up in how we did it and how it looked and how it sounded and how it felt. I just felt so good. But you forget that it wasn't the feeling. It was Jesus all along. He says, come down from the tree. He said, I planted the tree there for you a long time ago. I knew where you were going to be today a long time ago. So I grew the tree when you weren't even alive yet. I grew the tree up just for you. It waited there just for you. But now you use the tree for its purpose. Now you did it, and I accomplished my will through it. Come down from the tree and meet with me. Don't get stuck in the tree. Get stuck with Jesus. Zacchaeus positioned himself. And because he positioned himself with what God had in mind, Jesus went home with him. How many of you want Jesus to go home with you tonight? Lift your hand all over this place. Father, in Jesus' name, we believe you for miracles. We believe you for signs. We believe you for wonders, Father. God, we don't want to get caught up in what you did or what you were doing or in anything else but your will and your plan and your purpose for our lives. God, we're thankful that in the midst of a difficult atmosphere, that you can do your will right through it. That's our prayer in this house. We've even seen it, God. I'd be amiss to say that we haven't seen it. We've already seen signs and wonders. You cut the tree right down, God, and you caught us. And we just want to say thank you. But we also want to say that we look forward to what's ahead. We look forward to the next generation. We look forward to the next move of God. And we believe you for it. Let faith arise in this place. Let faith, let hope arise in a home. Let hope arise in a family. Bring peace and restoration. We pray in this house. And we thank you for examples like this to follow in Jesus' name. Come on, just say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a praise tonight, would you? How many of you received something tonight? Just wave at the Lord and tell him thank you. Tell him, even if you're at home tonight, tell the Lord thank you. I pray for God's hope. Dad, you want to come up? I pray for hope. I pray for life into a family. I pray for someone who has a Zacchaeus spirit. They've run from thing, to place, from group to group. And they just say, all right, God, I know I'm missing you. I pray for divine opportunities for that prodigal to come home in Jesus' name. I speak to a son. I speak to a daughter tonight. Home in Jesus' name. Father, we break the spirit of pride, of arrogance, of self-indulgence, Father, and we embrace Holy Spirit humility. And we thank you for it tonight. Thank you so much for it tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love you so much. I appreciate you so much. Thanks for coming out tonight. It's been a great night. The worship team, you guys did a fantastic job. This Sunday, tell your neighbor this Sunday. Tell them again this Sunday. Tell them one more time this Sunday. Pastor Aaron's going to bring a word. You're going to be blessed. Give the Lord one more praise, and we'll see you soon. God bless you at home tonight.